As we said, a large cut in the president's budget plan would be to the National Institutes of Health. And joining us on the line to talk about this is Harry Orff. He's Senior Vice President for Research at the Massachusetts General Hospital Research Institute. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Deborah. Glad to be here.
So some of the statistics that we've seen indicate that Massachusetts is the second largest recipient of grants from the National Institutes of Health, and MGH is the largest recipient of these grants in Massachusetts and in the nation. So it sounds like you've got a lot at stake here. How would this proposed 19% NIH funding cut in the president's budget, first off, how would that affect MGH?
Well, in a word, it will be devastating. A cut this deep, particularly at a time when, for the past decade, the budget has been fairly steady. We haven't really received any inflationary increases. So over the past decade, effectively, the purchasing power of the grants that we get from the federal government has decreased by about 20%. Only last year did we get a modest increase in the budget, which resulted in about $500 million of additional extramural grants. But that said, a 20% cut at this point would be really devastating, not just to the hospital, but really to the entire research community in the nation. Right now, one of the problems we're facing is the average researcher who goes into this field, they're doing it because they want to make a difference in healthcare ultimately, and they end up being over 40 years old before they see their first grant. So it's a very long and hard row they have to toe to get to the point of becoming an investigator. The success rate nationally on grant applications is around 17%. And we do a little bit better than that here at MGH and at Massachusetts as a whole, but nonetheless, it's still highly competitive. And the prospect of decreasing those opportunities by a fifth is very discouraging. And my concern is not just the short-term cut that we would see in all of the grants here, which would require a lot of our investigators, for example, to lay off some of the people that have been working on these very important projects. But it would also, I think, discourage a lot of our physician scientists who have clinical options in their career from going into research at all.
But that
would threaten our leadership in biomedical research internationally.
I'm wondering, though, like, explain to folks just sort of who aren't in the medical industry generally, you know, why is this grant money important? What do you use it for? Why are you relying on the National Institutes of Health, and how does it affect the broader population?
Well, think about all of the advances that have taken place in healthcare in the last 100 years. All of those medical advances begin with fundamental research and with translational research, which are supported by the by the NIH. When that gets hurt, then the opportunity, the pipeline for those fundamental discoveries that eventually lead to new products, to new therapeutics, to new devices, to new diagnostics, that pipeline is getting squeezed. And that means that the slack either has to be picked up elsewhere by industry or by private donations, or we begin to lose our competitive edge to the countries and other institutions that are, in fact, investing more in fundamental research.
Now, a lot of folks talk about philanthropy, and of course, we just recently heard about a major $25 million gift to Boston Medical Center. We hear about these large private gifts to medical centers. Would that help, or are you concerned about having folks rely on the private sector to maybe feel generous to support some of these things?
Well, we do. All research institutions do rely on philanthropy. We rely on public and private foundations as well as the federal government for support, and we are very appreciative of the support that we get. But the federal government, on average, provides more than 50%, sometimes upwards of 70 or 80% of the research budget of research universities and medical centers. So it would be an awful lot to make up, and if you take a fifth of that funding away, to get that back in the form of philanthropy is a pretty insurmountable task. And in addition to that, usually philanthropic gifts are very focused. They're perhaps a grateful patient gift or a gift that is targeted to a specific researcher or a specific area. And while those are very important to have, they normally do not fund what we call fundamental, basic, or translational research that is the underpinning of all the new discoveries that ultimately come into medicine.
How does the funding that goes to MGH compare with some of the other local hospitals? Do you know?
Well, and in terms of independent hospitals, MGH receives the largest amount from NIH in the country. Last year, we received about $360 million, and we were followed very closely by our sister institution, Brigham and Women's, part of the Partners Network, who received close to, I think, $350 million. Mm-hmm. So we... Together, actually, the Partners umbrella receives more NIH funding than any other institution or complex in the country.
Now, we just heard from Noah Berger, and of course, everyone is saying this. This is only the first step. This budget doesn't go into effect for a while, and of course, things can change dramatically, and there's been a huge backlash already today to the president's spending plan. But I'm wondering, are the folks at MGH, are you saying, well, if this does go into effect, we maybe need to do X, Y, and Z. Are you making some contingency plans now just in case?
Well, with about 12 hours' notice, we're certainly huddling. I would say this. There has always been bipartisan support for funding NIH, and it's incredibly important to get that message and to keep that. We believe we have strong bipartisan support, and we need to make those voices heard. If I may, there was an article that George Will wrote some years ago. During a similar budget crisis that was taking place in Washington, I think it was in the Washington Post, but he drew a pretty interesting analogy that I think is applicable today. He said that cutting the NIH budget in the time of fiscal crisis is like trying to make an overweight aircraft flight worthy by removing one of the engines. And I think that's basically the argument we want to put forward here. We are really an engine. We are a pipeline to a stronger economy, to better health care, and in fact to provide more affordable health care going forward. We need innovation. We need technology to help apply all of those strengths and new discoveries toward making medicine more affordable. If we stop the fundamental research that's progressing in those areas, it's going to make it even harder to get healthcare costs down going forward.
And just briefly, Harry, I mean, you talked about the 20% cut already in funding, and many of us probably remember the big debate in 2013 when there was, about a 5% cut in NIH funding, and there were a lot of folks talking about what might happen then. And I think some people might say, well, maybe those cuts were necessary, right? Remind us how MGH weathered some of those reductions and what effect it had.
We started a couple of years ago. We realized a couple of years ago that NIH funding was not likely to continue to rise as it has in decades earlier. And so what we did in the context of our own strategic plan was to say we need to do more outreach to the public. We need to do more outreach to industry to form collaborations. We need to better position ourselves to do translational research. So we've built some translational beds here in the hospital. And we need to continue and actually re-energize our efforts with donors, not just grateful patients, but to try to appeal to the public and to a broader donor base to explain the importance of funding fundamental research. That's not easy. It's not easy to get philanthropy targeted at fundamental research, but we believe that that is the engine that underpins all of the advances that follow, and we need to do better at making that case.
Okay. Harry Orff, Senior Vice President for Research at the Massachusetts General Hospital Research Institute. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.